We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Fourth and final hour. Dennison Callahan, Greg Dickerson alongside. The Larry Lucchino Report is brought to you by Fred C. Church Insurance, where it's not just the policy, it's the people. We'll see what kind of bench skills Theo Epstein has. He's pinch hitting for the president. General manager of the Boston Red Sox, Theo, joins us. Good morning, Theo. How are you?
Morning, guys.
Hey, the topic at hand that I'm sure you've been listening for the last 3.5 hours attentively is what A-Rod did in Toronto on the field last night. And as best you can, Theo, can you explain to me and our listeners the vagaries of baseball's uneven and unwritten rules? For an example, why is it okay for a runner to try to jog the ball loose from a catcher, but wrong for A-Rod to try to knock it out of Arroyo's hands? Or why is it okay for a second baseman to deke a runner trying to fake him into thinking the throw had gone into center field, but it's not okay for A-Rod to say something as he runs by the third baseman last night? Can you help me out?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's easy to explain. It's part of the book, the unwritten book on how the game's supposed to be played, and probably what's acceptable and what's not acceptable probably goes way back to the early 1900s when sort of the modern game was being formed, and what was okay and what was not okay, and that's carried on through the years with a few changes. But I guess you just want to be on the right side of that, not on the wrong side of that, and certain things certainly get the ire of the opposition.
Do circumstances change the acceptance level? As an example, if your team is on a 5-game losing streak and 14.5 games out of first place, a little desperation kicks in there as you're trying to pad a late inning lead. Do you get more leeway as you run by a third baseman and yell, "Hey"?
You're certainly allowed to play the game as hard as you want,
right?
And if that means breaking up a double play extra hard or running into a catcher extra hard, in those circumstances, I think there's more leeway for that. But I still haven't seen the play from last night, so I'm not commenting directly on that. But
right.
I think there are certain things that you just don't do to your opposition on the baseball field.
How would you react if one of your players did something under those circumstances? If they yelled "Hey" or "I got it" as they were rounding a base?
Well, our guys haven't done that yet. They play pretty hard, and they play the game the way it's supposed to be played, so I don't really want to get into hypothetical.
Theo, my idea here is, and by the way, Aaron's getting killed by like 95% of the callers today for mm-hmm. for doing this. My guess is, if it were Veritek or Trot when he was here and wearing the Red Sox uniform, not A-Rod in a Yankee uniform, many of those same people would be saying, well, that's just a dirt dog play there. That's a guy just playing to the whistle and trying to do everything he possibly could win.
Yeah, well, it is a fine line. As a base runner, if you're a base runner on second and the ground ball is short, you're allowed to kind of linger and try to and just get out of the way of the ground ball.
Good point.
The shortstop, but you're not allowed to call for the ball. So it's a fine line, and we just support our guys playing as hard as they possibly can to win, and there's a line that you don't cross, and we'll just live like that.
Hey, your team's 20 games over 500. You have a 10.5-game lead in the East. Other than injury, Theo, when you put your head on the pillow at night, what concerns you about this baseball team?
I think we always try to game plan for the worst-case scenario so that we can hopefully help if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot that we need to do if things go extraordinarily well over the course of the whole season. But that's rare. There are often times when teams have 2-month stretches where things go really well, where you stay healthy, where you get consistent deep starting pitching, and your bullpen gets the job done, and you're fairly consistent up and down the whole lineup. But that's not the reality of the baseball season. I think it's 162 games for a reason, and there are going to be moments when we're tested, where our depth is tested, and we have to face some adversity. So there's a lot to worry about. The Twins were a dozen games mm-hmm. down in the middle of the year last year and came all the way back to win that division. So I think there's a tendency on the part of the fan base to get pretty Pollyanna when things are going like this. But the reality reality is we're going to be tested. You really are, throughout the course of the entire season, only as strong as your weakest link, and we have to make sure we stay a couple steps ahead of that.
Theo, theoretically speaking, if this team were, and unlikely as it may be, to be playing 700 ball as the trading deadline approaches, and you have no major injuries and nothing out of the ordinary that hasn't already happened in the first 2 months of the season, can you see a situation where, as that trading deadline approaches, you go, no thanks, all set, don't need to do a single thing with this team?
We'd never take that attitude. I mean, we'd always go through the exercise and be as thorough as possible, trying to find ways to help the club, mm-hmm. even if things were still going really well. It's always a cost-benefit analysis, and oftentimes the best thing to do is do nothing. Last year we essentially ended up doing nothing, and even though the results didn't go the way we wanted to in August and September, I still think doing nothing was the right thing to do, because there was not a single move or even a series of moves we could have made that would have overcome all the injuries and the other elements of adversity we faced over the last two seasons. And we didn't sacrifice any of our young players and sacrifice any of our even immediate future that's paying dividends mm-hmm. today. So we'll perform the same thorough search and cost-benefit analysis this year. And I'd like to think there will be ways that we can help the team or ways to help our future. The way you get in a position to contend for a World Series championship every year is by not just focusing on the next 2 months and the next 3 months. It's by focusing on those next 2 and 3 months, but also the year after that and the year after that. So there's only a couple times during the year when there's a spike in trade activity, and the trade deadline is one of those times, so we want to try to take advantage of it.
If John Lester's ready to go in 10 days to 2 weeks, how do you handle that situation?
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. He's still on a pitch count, and he's an outing or two away from going unrestricted and seeing what he can do in the course of a long outing and getting fatigued and working his way out of jams. And pitched really well last time out. So we're just focused on really his development and making sure that when it's time to answer that question, he's got all his pitches working for him, and he's been through all the tests. He's answered all the questions that we're going to have for him before it's time for him to come up. But it's a good problem to have, and those things have a way of working themselves out.
Have you discussed with him at all the possibility of staying down in Pawtucket a little bit longer than maybe he'd like or he'd wish?
No, the only thing we've discussed with him is one step at a time, and it was getting healthy, and then he had the little bump in the road with the forearm cramp, and now it's just a matter of working himself back up to being able to go deep in games. And going to take it one step at a time with him. There are no expectations, and there have been no promises one way or the other.
Theo, if we had been sitting at the picnic table in Fort Myers back in February and told you that Timlin would be a non-factor to this point in the season, Beckett would be on the DL, JD Drew would struggle mightily, and David would miss a couple of games with sore hamstrings, could you have envisioned a way this team would be 20 games over 500 given that scenario?
Well, I probably would have said, well, I hope other guys are have improved their games, and other guys are staying healthy, and other guys are picking up the slack, and I would hope that we'd have the type of team that when certain key guys struggle, the rest of the team picks up the slack, and that's what defines a good team, and that's what we've had so far. So if you look through the course of the season, there have been different players carrying us for a while. JD, in the first couple of weeks of the season, actually carried our club. Then Cora took the reins, and then recently it's been Euclid, and we've had our starting pitching go out and dominate whole road trips for us, and then our bullpen has stepped up and won key games. And recently we've had, on this last road trip, an offensive explosion that really helped us win games. So I think that's the mark of a good team and a balanced team, and we're going to need that throughout the course of the year, because different guys do go in slumps, even prolonged slumps, and different elements of the team can go in slumps. We might have slumps where we don't have the good consistent starting pitching. Mm-hmm. We're going to need to rely on the bullpen even more than we have so far.
Theo, thus far, which of these three performances strikes you as the most surprising, good or bad? J.D. Drew's struggles, Euclid's emergence, or Okajima's dominance? Which one, if again, we're back in spring training, you knew the details, would say, I don't really see that happening?
Well, I think none of those three performances are outside the realm of what happens in a standard baseball season. I mean, they're all fairly explainable. I mean, JD is a really good hitter who's going through a very, very tough six-week stretch, and that's a long time for a slump to last, but it does happen, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean there's a new established level of performance for him. It means he's a good hitter who's really struggling for 6 weeks, and someone's going to probably pay for that later on. I'm sure he's going to get, you know, really hot, and his numbers will end up where they're supposed to be. Kevin Euclid, you know, is finally healthy. Last year he was really suffering with some plantar fasciitis and kind of an early sports hernia, and he's healthy now and hitting even better than he ever has. But there were signs of this kind of hitter. And if you look back at his last partial season at AAA in 2005, he put up these kind of numbers, and now getting the chance to play every day and be healthy at the same time, he's picked up where he left off and even, you know, become a better hitter. He's always seen the ball so well. Now he has an answer for everything pitchers are throwing at him. He's really turning on the ball in and the pitch away and breaking balls away. That's giving him a hard time. He's finding a way to use the opposite field. And he's just a complete hitter now. And then Okajima, you know, there have been Japanese pitchers who've come over and had real success in Major League bullpens over the last few years, and we've missed out on those guys. You know, Atsuka, when he was posted several years ago, no team in baseball bid on him, and then in the post the next year went for less than $1 million. And Saito came over last year on a minor league contract and became a closer for the Dodgers. So, you know, we really made an effort to try to be thorough and make sure if there was an undervalued, affordable reliever coming over this year that we'd have the opportunity to sign him. And he sure has exceeded our expectations, but it's not unprecedented.
Speaking of Japanese pitchers, for $100 million, couldn't you have at least gotten Daisuke Matsuzaka a good bed to sleep in on the road?
Yeah, I read that. I guess he's more comfortable sleeping on the air mattress on the floor, but I guess you could talk it up to one of those adjustments that we're all making as we learn each other.
In terms of those adjustments, I want to ask you, how did you approach Daisuke in year one in the major leagues? Was it similar to the way you would approach, a Clay Buchholz maybe next year or a John Lester last year coming up from the minor leagues?
In what way?
In terms of
expectations.
Expectations, I guess. Yeah.
Oh well, I think the way I looked at our expectations for Matsuzaka was really over 6 years, and you know, I tried to stress that internally that, you know, we're not making this investment necessarily for an immediate impact, that if there's going to be an adjustment period, it will manifest in the first year, and you know, no player is good enough to make this kind of investment for just a 1 or 2 or 3 year benefit. What we really have to focus on is that we're getting at least 6 years of the prime of this player's career, and over the course of the 6 years, you know, we feel obviously that he's going to make a really, really meaningful impact. There's a chance that it happens in the first year, and I think to a large extent it has. But we're also seeing, you know, some adjustments that have to be made, and some growing pains and some inconsistencies. But, you know, I still really think he's going to be a top starting pitcher for us for the length of his contract and a dominant one even during the course of this year. He just, you know, he's had those dominant outings, and he's had outings last night where for whatever reason he goes out there without his best stuff in command. But I think it's part of the natural learning process, and very, very happy he's on our side.
Theo, did Daisuke have these one-inning, lack of a better word, meltdown, probably a little too strong of a word, one-inning struggles in historically in Japan? Did we see that pattern over there?
No, not necessarily. He actually, the pattern that you saw over there was that he would come out, and in the first inning or two, he was figuring out what he had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wouldn't necessarily have all his pitches working for him, and he'd kind of feel his way through the first couple innings and oftentimes give up a run or two and then get ticked off on the mound and then get locked in and give up nothing. I mean, nothing the rest of the game. And that we've seen a little bit of that pattern. You know, at first, sometimes he's had to feel his way through the first innings here, and I think generally, not last night, but generally he's gotten stronger as the game has went on and got more fluid, and his stuff has even got better and his command sharper as the game's gone on. But we have seen a little bit of that in the first inning where he comes out and he's kind of trying to figure out what he has and get his bearings.
During spring training, Terry Francona said he wanted to get Willie Mopena 300-400 at-bats and felt that he could. He doesn't even have 60 right now. How do you get him more at-bats, and can he ever be the player that you expected him to be or you thought he could be when you made the deal if he's not out there on a regular basis?
Well, that's one thing that hasn't necessarily gone according to plan. We haven't been able to find him a way to get those at-bats. And I guess on one hand, it's a good thing because we've been healthy in the outfield. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. It does potentially stunt his development. And we have him under control for next year as well, and he's still only 25 years old. So at some point, and it could be tomorrow. You know, you can't look too far ahead in this game with the way injuries go, but he's going to get an opportunity to play every day. But it is very, very difficult for someone playing so sporadically to develop. At the same time, think he has a chance to contribute in that role and provide, you know, power for us when he is in the lineup. It's just not an ideal situation for him right now.
Theo, when you put teams together in the past, you've had some good results, you've had some bad results. My guess is that, by and large, the process in each one of those instances was pretty much the same, which leads me to believe there's a certain amount of luck involved. So I guess the question is, does not that indicate that much of what you do is kind of a crapshoot? I mean, the process is the same. Sometimes it turns out great, like this year so far. Other times not so great. Are we talking luck here?
Well, I think, there's luck involved in everything in life, but certainly in baseball evaluation and the process of putting teams together is really inexact science. I think the best teams can shift the odds in their favor in any one individual transaction from 50-50 to 55-45, or, in the best case scenario where everything lines up 60-40. It's just, that's the way baseball is. We're trying to do something that human beings aren't very good at, which is predict future performance. So I think the key is recognizing that and developing a system that increases that in a process that shifts the odds in your favor as far as they possibly can with respect to any one transaction, so that when you make a series of transactions and when you make transactions that complement each other with the goal of creating not just a group of individual players but a team, and a team that over the course of 162 games can compete and win 95 or more games, then you have some protection, and not everything has to go right for you to build the type of team that can win a World Series. And, for the most part, since the beginning of the 2003 season, we've basically accomplished that goal, with the exception of the last 2 months of last year, when we suffered a set of circumstances pretty similar to what the Yankees are going through right now. So it's not an exact science, but I think you can protect yourself enough to give yourself a chance to get to the postseason, 80% of the time if you do your job right.
Theo, every Monday during the football season when Tom Brady's on, we always save one hypothetical question for him, and this is mine for you. And I know I'm absolutely positively wasting my breath with this, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. If you were the general manager of a baseball team that was potentially 17 and a half games out of first place when it was time for your midseason acquisition that you just paid $18 million for to come in and try to ride the white horse and the cavalry to save you, would you feel it was too late as the general manager of a hypothetical team?
I'm sure Tom doesn't like those hypothetical questions.
he deals with them a little bit.
He probably answers them in a really vague way that can't pin you to the whatever hypothetical you're actually thinking of in your mind. But I would say this. I'd say that when you're a really, really talented team that's had everything go wrong, you have to have some faith that there's going to be a period during the season when everything goes right, and that that your team is probably capable of ripping off 18 out of 20 games at some point during the season and getting back into a race.
But don't you also have to be realistic too, Theo, and see what the hypothetical opposition is doing?
Yeah, like paying 700 balls.
Right, exactly. Hypothetically speaking.
Well, how many teams that won the World Series have been a wild card team, and division races aren't over in May or June. They're just not. If you look at the Twins last year, a dozen games out, came back to win the division. So I don't think so. I'd like to think our opposition would roll over and roll up and send up the white flag from time to time, but it's not going to happen. That's just not the way the baseball season works. And trust me, there will be a morning show sometime this summer when you guys start the show by saying, wow, this thing's getting a lot closer than we thought it would. Is this the beginning of a collapse or a meltdown? And it probably won't be. It'll just be the natural readjusting of things, with teams that have been hot getting cold, teams that have been cold getting hot. And in the end, you play 162 games to see who the best team is, and then you start an 8-team tournament to see who can get hot and win the World Series. And we're almost a third of the way through the 162-game part and just doing our best to get through it.
Theo, we end with a subject we began with, and that would be A-Rod. And I'm wondering, as a practical matter, if and when A-Rod makes himself available, would there be some or a lot of interest in A-Rod from the Boston Red Sox?
You tried to lull me to sleep with sort of the run-of-the-mill hypothetical and then catch me with my guard down for that one. No, we can't talk about that.
I know you can't. All right, Theo. Appreciate the time this morning.
Take care.
All right, Theo Epstein with Dennison Dickerson. Now, that's brought to you by Fred C. Church Insurance. I thought I'd sneaked it in on
that's
the
see that.
Oh, yeah,
of course
we'll like, talk about
that's
it.
That's like A-Rod. That's dirty. That's, you just don't do
mine,
that.
Mine!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.